Hello, my name is Shahe Jurgen. The qualifications for elders can be divided into three major categories which address character, congregational leadership capabilities, and family. The character qualifications are not at all unique to elders. They're qualities God expects of all Christians. However, the domestic qualifications are a distinctive of the eldership. In today's article, Greg Gay addresses what the Apostle Paul has to say regarding the elder's marital status.
Lord, take control, take control.
Husband of One Wife by Greg Gay. The elder qualification, husband of one wife, is listed by Paul in both 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:6. This qualification, like all other requirements, is an area of an elder's life where he must be blameless, 1 Timothy 3 verse 2. By implication, this qualification adds to the emphasis of elders only being men if a man desires the position of a bishop, 1 Timothy 3:1, if a man is blameless, Titus 1:6. Interestingly, the word translated men in these verses can also be translated anyone, as it is in many translations, including the English Standard Version, ESV. This has led some to conclude that women, as well as men, can be elders if they desire the office of overseer. Mark Dunigan comments on 1 Timothy 3:1, quote, "Clearly the elder must be a man, 3:2, referring to the qualification that is the subject of this article, husband of one wife." Dunigan adds, quote, "Notice the word any. As long as a man was qualified, he could serve, regardless of his social and economic background." Some religions have long accepted women in positions of leadership, including elders, in violation of this and other qualifications. Certainly many women are capable of great leadership, but that is not their assigned role in the church. Paul writes,
"Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God."
1 Corinthians 11, 1-3. Just as role differences between God the Father and God the Son do not diminish their divinity, neither is the dignity of men or women degraded because of their unique role assignments. Even with different roles within the Godhead, Jesus could declare, "I and my Father are one," John 10, verse 30. Similarly, a husband and wife can be one flesh within their assignments, Ephesians 5, 31. Paul pronounces, "We are all one in Christ Jesus, whether male or female," Galatians 3, 27, but this does not negate our role assignments. Alexander Staunch writes in Biblical Eldership, An Urgent Call to Restore Biblical Church Leadership, quote, "To restrict women from the church eldership would be unjust and discriminatory if it were done arbitrarily by males for their own selfish ends. But if such restrictions was part of the Creator's wise plan, then it is not discrimination. It is just and good for the welfare of the family, the local church, and the whole human race." Page 52. The man who would qualify to be an elder must have a wife who is a woman. This means no man who is married to another man can qualify. Such relationships are condemned as sinful.
"For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet."
Romans 1:26 and 27. Paul reveals the only acceptable participants for a marriage are a man and a woman. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. 1 Corinthians 7:1 and 2. As applies to our subject, today's marriage laws and many gender choices can make this very confusing. The intent of the scripture is only a man born as a man, married to a woman born as a woman, can qualify as the husband and wife relationship that must exist in an elder's family. Many religions view the family qualifications of an elder as if-then criteria, meaning if he is married and if he has children, then those qualifications apply. This is not a new view. David Lipscomb and E.G. Sewell were Church of Christ Restoration-era preachers and editors of the Gospel Advocate beginning in the last half of the 1800s. Together, they authored the answers to a queries column for 40 years. When answering the question, "Can a man be a bishop or a deacon that has no wife?" Lipscomb replied, quote, "We believe an unmarried or childless man, if otherwise qualified, may be a bishop or a deacon. I think where the scripture says the husband of one wife, it means he must have but one wife and be true to her. Then he speaks of having children. It means, since the rule was to have children, if he has them, he must rule them well. But if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" 1 Timothy 3:5. This shows the end of the wife and children was disciplinary, to teach and train the persons for the work of caring for the house of God. Now, if a man gets his training in some other way and shows his fitness of ruling, even though he has no family of his own, shall the church be deprived of his proved talent? Kerfies, Questions Answered by Lipscomb and Sewell, page 204. While this view certainly enlarges the field of candidates for eldership, it ignores the many family relationships that are entwined in and required as part of the inspired qualifications. An elder is required to have a wife and children. His relationships with both reveal his ability to lead his family with love and service. His ability to collaborate with his wife in successfully raising their children proves his competence of ruling his own house well. Without that proof, he is not considered qualified to lead the church. Staunch attempts to make a case for a single man serving as an elder. He says, quote, "If Paul requires elders to be married, he flatly contradicts what he teaches in 1 Corinthians 7, where he outlines the distinct advantages of singleness in serving the Lord and even encourages singleness for the purpose of more effective, undivided service," page 190. Regarding children, he says, quote, "He, Paul, is simply saying that an elder who has offspring must manage his home well. The fact is, most men are married and have children. Scripture requires that these men have their homes in order and that their marital relationships exemplify what Christian marriage should be. These qualifications obviously don't apply to elders who are single or childless." Biblical Eldership, page 191. This view ignores that the 1 Corinthians 7 passage about the advantage of singleness is not about qualifications for the eldership. Men who never marry forfeit the right to be considered as an elder, just as women who never marry forfeit the right to be considered worthy of ongoing support by the church as a widow. See 1 Timothy 5:3-10. One view from a Baptist pastor, Andy Davis, is if we insist elders must be married, that would eliminate Christ, Paul, and Timothy from being elders. Quote, "So let's go to the question at hand. Can single men serve as elders? Or must they be filtered out for not meeting the husband of one wife qualification?" 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:6. In short, I believe filtering out single men is overly restrictive and therefore causes churches to miss out on some rich blessings the Lord has given. This restriction wouldn't even come to mind, except that these passages seem to be teaching it. But a closer look shows that such an approach leads to unhealthy, even absurd conclusions. For example, it would eliminate Jesus, Paul, and it seems Timothy from the office of elder. It would also negate the powerful case the Apostle Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 7 for the benefits singleness brings to ministry. Paul celebrates single servants as being free from concern and able to focus completely on how they may please and serve the Lord, living in undivided devotion, 1 Corinthians 7:32 and verse 35. This is rather like saying everyone who works in a school should be the principal instead of valuing all the individual roles that make up the educational system of the facility. This reasoning ignores the fact that Jesus is God and head of the church, Colossians 1:18, not an elder. It also ignores that Jesus established the positions of responsibility in the church and the Holy Spirit inspired the qualifications for each of those positions.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Ephesians 4:11-13. The elder qualification, husband of one wife, is identical in 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:6. In each, the phrase is mias gunaikos andra. The first word of the phrase, mias, is translated one, and is defined as a cardinal number, with the explanation it is a number used to express quantity, not order, and may serve as a noun, pronoun, adjective, or, in Greek, an adverb, from the Complete Word Study Bible. The second word, gunaikos, is translated wife. The third word of the phrase, andra, is translated husband. Lenski translates the phrase, one wife's husband, 1 Timothy, page 580. George Knight adds, quote, literally, a man of one woman, or a husband of one wife. The common New Testament words for man and woman take on the meanings of husband and wife in contexts such as here. The New International Greek Testament Commentary, the Pastoral Epistles, page 156. Since the word one is a cardinal number, it is not limiting an elder to only be married to his first wife. It is, however, defining and limiting the number of wives an elder can have to be qualified. He must have more than zero wives and less than two, in keeping with the phrase, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. The various views on this qualification include, it is a prohibition against polygamy, or that one who is an elder must be married, but only to his first wife, or that an elder must be a married man who is faithful in his marriage. Similar language is in the list of qualifications for widows who can be supported by the church.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work.
1 Timothy 5:9-10. The phrase, the wife of one man, in 1 Timothy 5:9, to qualify a widow for support, is the mirror image of the phrase, the husband of one wife, and elder qualifications in 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:6. Paul gives different paths for widows' support consideration based on age. Those over 60 can be considered, providing they meet all the other qualifications. To the widows under 60, he says, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, 1 Timothy 5:14. Widows over 60 must be the wife of one man. Widows under 60 are encouraged to marry again. It does not seem likely Paul would advise widows under 60 to do what would disqualify them for consideration if they happen to become widows again over age 60. Therefore, it seems doubtful that the meaning of the phrase in 1 Timothy 5:9, the wife of one man, would conflict with the advice in 1 Timothy 5:14 for younger widows to marry. That gives support to the view of one wife's husband not being only the first spouse. Lenski, in commenting on the phrase, one wife's husband, as given in 1 Timothy 3:2 for an elder, 1 Timothy 3:12 for a deacon, and 1 Timothy 5:9 for a widow, comments, the sense is the same. None of these expressions means that the person must have been married only once. All three mean that the person must have been true and faithful to one married spouse. Page 667. Knight adds regarding elders, one must look back over his life from the time of his conversion to ascertain his marital and sexual fidelity in having been the husband of one wife, page 159. The Apologetics Press has a highly informative article on this subject. Kyle Butt writes, quote, the phrase the husband of one wife is a present tense statement that implies that a man should be currently married to one woman. The candidate for the eldership, about whom there is no question as it pertains to this one qualification, is a man who is currently married to the one and only woman who has ever been his wife, and they stay married throughout the duration of his eldership. A close look at these qualifications, however, would seem to indicate that a man who is remarried after the death of a spouse, or one who is remarried after a divorce caused by his wife's sexual infidelity, is technically still viewed as the husband of one wife. An elder is not the only one in his family who is subject to the qualification requirements and process. Not only must he qualify individually, his family is also included in the qualifications. All in the family are subject to the same process of evaluation and approval for the qualifications that apply to them. Any part of the family who fails to meet the qualifications disqualifies the man from serving in his office. As Paul writes, "If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" 1 Timothy 3:5, ESV.